Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
So, Lions team is with us. Brian O'Driscoll, you're very welcome to studio. Welcome back from New Zealand.
Good to be back.
Tired and drinking coffee at 8:05 in the evening. That's the way it's going to be for a few days now.
You'll be going for 2 hours, 10 to 30, and then I'll be ready to go. And then awake at 3:30.
Good.
Just get back into the swing of things just as I came to terms with it over New Zealand, head back to the other side of the Northern Hemisphere.
Everybody feels incredibly sorry for you and your trip to New Zealand. Jerry Thornley will join us in just a moment. In fact, you're there, Jerry. Hello.
I'm here, Joe. Yeah, here.
Good. So you're with us, Brian's with us, and the Lions team news is with us, and it's very simple, really. An unchanged 23, Jerry.
Yeah, I suppose it's pretty hard to change a team that's just beaten the All Blacks and become the first side to beat the All Blacks New Zealand for 8 years and 46 tests, and the first Lions side to do it since the 90s. So the one you would have debated, I suppose, was loosehead prop, given Makavunipolo conceded 4 of the 13 penalties last week. And this is the lack of discipline has, and the penalty count has really irritated Warren Gatland, the head coach, and the other coaches during the course of this tour. So by, you know, promoting Jack McGrath, I would have been sending out a message by retaining Makavunipolo. That slightly goes against that message, but it's no surprise because that front row that's starting this match have been the same front row throughout the tour, basically. They've come on together in the 50th minute of the opening match, and they've started every game together since then, so you just want to break them up, and I think that's fair enough.
Brian, did you want to see any changes?
No, I think it's always a difficult one when you do have a big victory like that. You can't make changes for the sake of it. Mm. I think you could potentially have looked at a personnel change within the 23, but I think it would have been very harsh. A lot of people were calling for Alan Wynne-Jones's head. Personally, he's a big game player, I think. I've looked around in a dressing room and seen him being there and felt the stronger for it in the past. Mm. And he's only 31. Everyone's writing him off already, and we all know second rows can go forever. Mm. So
he was much better at the weekend as well, wasn't he? He was right up for the game.
And he was, you know what, it was his sort of game. It was really tough, physical, you know, in close quarters. But you have to remember too, this guy has one of the biggest engines I've ever seen, and people don't know that about him. Right. They feel, oh, he's starting to flag the second half, you know, 20 minutes of the second half, he was anonymous. He gets through a mountain of work, and it's the stuff that allows his second row partner to probably showcase a little bit more of their skill set, which is perfect because they complement each other, Mauro and himself. But he is the dog in there, and he just smashes rooks and hits people.
I didn't quite realise that. I think it's maybe the hairline's doing him no favours. He's getting on in years, and you just presume he must be wrecked. But that's interesting to hear. Yeah. And at one point, I don't know if you noticed at the weekend, he was just slapping Atoje on the arse repeatedly as they were about to go into a scrum and G'ing him up. And is probably a really good guy to have beside, what, a 21, 22-year-old?
Maybe he's a year older than 31. Jerry might be able to correct me. But he's... The thing is, in games like this, you need that wealth of experience of guys that have been around the block and that are able to carry the younger lads through. You've got the athleticism of Atoje, but you need that animal, that dog. Mm. And Alan Wynne-Jones has had it for years, and it hasn't all of a sudden vanished on him. That's part of his very nature, his DNA. And definitely when the going gets tough, you look to guys like that to set the tone. And I think he did it early on in the game in the second test.
Jerry, New Zealand named their team about 2 hours ago. Ione Naholo out. We have Jordy Barrett in at 15. We have Lemapé in at 12. Obviously no Sonny Bill. So Jordy Barrett got the nod.
Yeah, that had been flagged a little bit, although still a bit surprising. Their hand was slightly forced, and that Wesley Naholo hasn't trained all week, so they feel the need to shift Israel back to right wing. It's still quite a gamble, really, for the most part, when you think that Jordy Barrett is only 20, will be making his first test start after just winning one cap off the bench against Samoa in the warm-up match to this series. And I think Lemapé is an even bigger surprise for me, because a lot of people were just presumed that when Fekitoa was recalled to the squad that he would start alongside Leonard Brown. That was the combination they actually used in Dublin last November on their fairly vicious revenge mission to Dublin, and presumed that they would go back to those two because Ngani Lomapi is a very talented, explosive powerhouse midfielder with a great offloading game and so forth. But it was his debut last week, coming off of Sonny Bill Williams, and he was slightly at fault, really, for both tries. I think he was exposed defensively for both tries that the Lions scored. It's Owen Farrell who drags him a little bit out of position with the run that leaves the gap for Jamie George with that great line off the pop pass from Johnny Sexton. And he probably is a little bit tight when Owen Farrell throws the skip pass out to Liam Williams and he shifts it along to Toby Faletau for his finish in the corner. And it's a little bit surprising he's been picked. Probably, I'd say privately, the Lions were probably hoping that Rico Ioane would be retained on the left wing because they finally didn't get really much of a chance to target him in the first test aerially, but in the second test they most certainly did, not least that cross kick from Conor Murray of the last play of the first half could easily have yielded a try if Anthony Watson had followed up a little bit quicker when Ioane fumbled the ball under a little bit of pressure from Toby Faletau. And I think they would have liked to go after him again, but Julian Savea is way more experienced. So they've recalled experience there, but it's certainly been a bold selection in going for Lomapi and Jordan Barrett at full-back. And one of the more interesting aspects, of course, about putting Jordy Barrett in the team, we're going to have the three Barrett brothers all representing, most likely, when Scott comes on the pitch, presuming that Jordy and Scott and Bowden are still there. It'll be the first time in history that three brothers will play for the All Blacks the same game at the same time. And it'll be interesting which will be the goal kicker. Last week, Bowden Barrett kicked 7 out of 10, but missed a couple of relatively easy ones, and Jordan Barrett is a very accomplished goal kicker and has been preferred by the Hurricanes as the goal kicker a lot this season to his brother.
Yeah. Murray Kinsler during the week was pointing out that for the Hurricanes, Bowden Barrett's at about 60%, whereas Jordy's up at 80%. So there could very well come that moment. Indeed, they may start with Jordy kicking, and he seems to have had a great year for the Hurricanes, full stop, scored 7 tries. Not small for a 20-year-old, 97 kgs is his size. So he's ready to go, even though he has just one appearance.
Yeah, he looks, looking at the TV and some pretty tall individuals, he seems to be towering over them, so he must be 6'3", 6'4", minimum. I think at the moment, a slightly lesser version of his brother. I think he has lots of time on the ball, but not quite the same degree as Bowden. Right. But good players, he's only 20 years of age, and it's incredible to think what he's already done in Super Rugby, but this is a completely different step up. I think he was okay in the Hurricanes game against the Lions midweek last week. I didn't think he was exceptional, but again, these are all much bigger games than anything he's played in the past.
Yeah.
So this will be an enormous test. At fullback, you can only imagine the first couple of minutes. You can be sure there'll be Indians sent to charge after one or two box kicks or Johnny Sexton's bombs.
Jerry's given us his take on the team. When you look at the team Hansen has gone for here, does it tell us anything about what New Zealand are going to be about on Saturday? Somebody text in saying it screams attack, attack, attack. Would you go along with that?
Listen, all New Zealand teams scream that.
It's going to be a defensive masterclass from New Zealand here. They're going to play for 6-0. But can you deduce anything from that team?
No, I wonder with Fekitoa. I met him in the gym in Auckland a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's on his way to Toulon. I just wonder him being brought in and not shot straight into the team, is that a message to everyone else that unless we're really struggling, you're not going to make the 23, and that's why Lamape has been brought in. Conversely to Jordy Barrett, I thought was quite good in the Hurricanes game. Very direct. I think Hansen's got big plans for him. He's kind of told a few people keep an eye on this guy because he's got a big future in the black jerseys. So do you know what? I do feel as though the Lions have the edge in the centre and across that back line. I wouldn't be afraid of anything. I know that the Lions will cause them problems. I think Dag has been a bit of a mixed bag this series. They nearly always go to him at wing or at full back. I think he's a favourite of Hansen's after being left out of the World Cup a couple of years ago. But I don't know. I think there's some questionable aspects. Certainly his defence. I think you saw that Toby Faletau running over him. Now I wouldn't knock him for that because Faletau is an absolute powerful beast, but I think there's some question marks about that back three and those centres that the Lions should definitely get after.
Okay. I'll come to you in this in a moment, Jerry, as well. So your take on the second test then, it's hard. And I find it increasingly as the week goes on to detach any analysis from the fact that it was 14 men. And still they were 18-9 down in the second half and really just almost pulled it out of the fire, it felt, at one point. How good, bad, and different was it? And so, like, how do you detach it from the fact that they were playing against a team with 14 men for about 55 minutes?
It was one of those games that it didn't mean as much losing a man because of the conditions.
Right.
And
why is that? Because you can't stretch a team?
Yeah, because, you know, if it's a dry ball, it's a different story. Okay. You're going to be able to, you know, use that space, use the width. It became an attritional game. It was bucketing down. Don't know if you could properly appreciate how wet it was on TV. So it really came out of the heavens. And their skill set still was incredibly impressive, all things considered. I get the sense that, you know, they're wounded at the moment, and you know they have this record in Eden Park where they haven't been beaten since 92. I just wonder, are we going to get a huge performance from this All Black team, one that we haven't yet seen in the series? And you know, we're talking about some potential vulnerabilities in that back line. You still see the quality of Retallick and Whitelock and Reid. Kane had a big performance. I think that they are brewing something huge, and the Lions are going to have to improve on their performance from last weekend.
Yeah, we'll get on to that in just a second, Jerry. But your take on Saturday, the Lions' performance?
Last Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that it was a deeply frustrating third quarter performance. In the sense that at half time you felt that having got to 9-all against 14 men and the All Blacks think tank having, I thought a little surprisingly, reacted so swiftly in taking off Jerome Kino. And certainly, I think the Lions back row had a field day as a result of that. I thought Sean O'Brien was the best player on the pitch. As Graham Rantry said during the week, he was a barometer, really, of the Lions' performance in terms of their energy and their physicality and the way he took the game to the All Blacks. But at 9-all at half time, I thought, Joe, this is just a game of playing territory. Just play territory. The way Jerome Garth is his referee, he's so strict on the offside line, he's so strict at the breakdown, that, you know, play territory against 14 men and, you know, you should win the match. And then in the third quarter, the Lions didn't get out of their half. Connor Murray went up the line with a touch kick, which didn't go very far, conceded the line out a couple of times. But most of all, their discipline just went to pieces. And really unnecessary soft penalties. I think the penalty count was 6-0 in that time. And they created a hook of their own making, and they were let off it by Bowden Barrett's kicking, there's no doubt about it. Although, you'd have to say that of the three misses, he got another opportunity, another shot at goal before the ball get back to the halfway line, almost immediately in each instance. So I'm not sure it's strictly speaking set of a 10 in that sense. But either way, at 89 down, you think the Lions have absolutely blown this.
Yeah.
And then to recover from the way they did and to retain their composure in the way they did, I thought Johnny Sexton on fire really ran the show really well at 10-12 to create those two drives, to score two fantastic drives, to produce a defensive effort at 21-all to repel the All Blacks, drive them back 15 metres along the gain line with brilliant energy off the bench from Courtney Laws and Kyle Sinclair and Jack McGrath, contributing along with Mauro Toji and the rest and Shawnee and the rest of them across the gain line, and then to go and to their own set of phases and resulting in a little bit of a harsh penalty, I think you have to say, a little bit of an unlucky penalty to win the match against Charles Farmina. But either way, I thought they deserved it in the end, and I thought they showed great composure. I think you have to give Gatlin a lot of credit too as well, because so many coaches might have gone to their bench, and he actually didn't. And he didn't bring on CJ Starner to give a big ball carrying off the back row. He didn't bring on Ben Teo. And had he brought on Ben Teo, the likelihood is that neither try would have been scored, because passing ain't his forte, whereas Sexton and Farrell together gave them real width. So I thought, yeah, it was a really praiseworthy win. Like Brian said, you had to be there to appreciate the rain. I watched it since on television. It doesn't really convey a true picture of what the conditions were like.
Right.
And the atmosphere was extraordinary. So I thought, all considered, it was an epic win. But yeah, you'd have to think something's brewing in the All Black camp all week in Auckland. We had good experience of this last November. You remember the steely-eyed intent that the All Blacks came to Dublin with for Ireland, having had the temerity to beat them for the first time ever in Chicago. And you'd have to accept that, yeah, it's going to be something very like that in terms of attitude again.
I just think to add to that, the difference with the Lions in the first couple of tests, yeah, they got, they had a lot more, you know, possession in that second test, but they created two opportunities and they scored two. They probably created four in the first test. Okay, granted, you know, Reece Webb got in late on, you know, for a second try, that probably flattered the scoreline a little bit, but that just shows you get opportunities, you must take them, because you could be sure that they're going to take two or three of theirs. Now, they didn't score at the weekend, which is unheard of, to get across the whitewash. But that won't happen a second test in a row. So you could be sure they'll score a couple of tries. If the conditions are dry, they're going to score two or three. It's just a matter, again, can the Lions adopt an attacking mindset to go out and try and score three or four themselves?
It's interesting, all three of us fully, and I think quite rightly, suspect something is brewing in the New Zealand camp all week. And you can imagine the intensity of their training sessions. You can imagine what's been said at their meetings. You can imagine, because of what we saw in Dublin, as Jerry mentioned, how they're going to approach Saturday. I ask this, and I stress, I appreciate the fact that something similar was done 4 years ago and something similar was done 4 years before that, and the Lions won both of those subsequent matches. But the Lions have spent all the last couple of days bungee jumping and being photographed, sipping beers and having a grand old time in Queenstown, and the management have justified it and been very convincing, really, and said the players need to decompress, and, you know, we have done this in the past and it's served us well and the players are being very sensible. But I don't know, it just feels like extra ammunition, and you can imagine it's being used by the All Blacks because they're being asked about it all the time and they're saying, well, look, we'd prefer to train. Like, you already have the heebie-jeebies about how the All Blacks are going to come out on Saturday anyway, and now they're seeing the lads jumping, doing bungee jumps and sipping beer, and you just think, someone shout stop here, someone call this off.
It's a really difficult one because I have an appreciation for the amount of miles on the clock at this stage. The Lions have just finished a season. They've just finished. They're into week seven of a 7 week tour. They've, you know, huge amount of training work done over the course of that period of time. They definitely need to have time off their feet. Yeah. Of that, there's no doubt. Queenstown was the choice to go and, you know, switch off a little bit. They've managed to do that. I think they could have been a small bit smarter. You know, definitely around social media, you know, I saw one or two posts of a couple of lads having a beer, you know, mid-afternoon. Mm. Whatever, I'm all for having a few beers, that's fine. But there's no need to promote it to the world and let everyone know, because undoubtedly the All Blacks are looking at that and it is adding fuel to the fires. Like, these guys,
you party, know, party mode.
You know, have they switched off already? Yeah. Yeah. Do they think that, are they happy with 1-1? Because that's, if I was an All Black, that's the way I'd be looking on it now. I'd be thinking, you know, are they on easy street? Here we are grafting every day to get better because we're hurting from last weekend and these boys are off having a good time. So I think they probably, I appreciate that they do need downtime and you need to get away, but I think they could have been a small bit smarter with how they went about that.
Yeah, is big talking point over there, Jerry, or are we making a mountain out of a molehill here?
It's not such a big talking point over here at all, actually. Yeah, it's quite surprising that I was surprised by the tone of your question, to be honest, Joe. I think Brian answered it perfectly. Like, I don't know what much more I can add to that other than it might be conveying the impression that they've all been going out bungee jumping and doing activities non-stop and been on the beer heavily. They haven't been. Most of the time, they've been in their hotel, which has been a little bit removed from the rest of Queenstown, because if they thought they were going to get away from the Red Army, there's no chance of that. There's about a quarter of about 5,000, I reckon, to be in Queenstown this week anyway. So they've been lying low in that sense. They've been seen around town too much. They've spent a lot of time at their hotel. They're still going into the team room meeting. They're still getting their recovery, rehab in, their whatever, their massage and so forth. They're getting up whenever they feel like it, for breakfast whenever they feel like it. So it's just a little less regimental.
Right.
Not only has this been an extraordinarily long season as ever, but another couple of other factors to add to what Brian has said as well. They've hardly had a day off until this week. You know, what the days off they've had have been travel days.
Yeah.
It's just been constant movement. There've been about 8 changes of venue or 8 changes of hotel across the tour already. There's been no time off. It's very intense, as you can imagine, in New Zealand. You know, you can't go anywhere in New Zealand without talk of the Lions. It's not like Australia at all, where you can walk 10 yards out of your hotel room and most people wouldn't even know there's a rugby tour in town. And so it's been quite intense, and it's been a long season, and it just gives them, I think it might just refresh them mentally. And look, ultimately, the proof will be in their clarity. If they get beaten out the gate, then it's been a really bad move, as happened with Ireland when they lost 60-0 in Hamilton. Or if they do really well, like they did 4 years ago and 8 years ago, and Wales have done in the past under this system, then it'll be seen as as a massive stroke. So really, it'll all be told in Saturday's result.
Yeah, no, I accept what you're saying for sure. Actually, you did an interesting piece talking about the length of this tour and the length of the season and the demands on their bodies. You were speaking with Dr. Aina Falvey. Because, I mean, it is quite striking, Jarrod Payne and Robbie Henshaw, though, very much aside, how short the injury list is for the Lions. I mean, it certainly seems way shorter, way down on previous tours. Dr. Aina Falvey was talking to you about that, Jerry?
Yeah, it seems to, it's some tribute to the strength and conditioning staff and the work they've done. The management meet every day, and they're programming each player on a daily basis, and they're monitoring them very closely. And there's a degree of luck as well. I think Warren Gatland said at the outset that he expected on the base of previous tours for there to be 6 to 10 injuries. Well, I mean, Jarrod Payne became the fifth of the original squad to effectively be ruled at the end of the tour. So you would have thought it was going to be more towards the higher tally in New Zealand with such an intense tour. Remember, the start of this tour, everybody said, you know, Graham Henry described it as suicidal. They were playing the 5 regional sides on top of the Maoris and then 3 tests against the All Blacks. You couldn't have devised a tougher, more demanding tour. So to have come through this as well as they've done, to be so competitive on the pitch, but also to have such a low injury profile, suggests the man management has been very, very detailed and very good, albeit there has been an element of luck in that as well. So they've got to this stage of the tour. And another thing as well, like they do freely admit that going to that first test, they might have slightly overdone the training in the first week, and the forwards were a little bit heavy-legged. So going light on their load last week meant that they could finish the game as strongly as they did. They were so strong by not taking full recourse to the bench either. So you'd have to say that last week, lightening the load paid a dividend, and maybe this week it will again.
Yeah. Payne and Henshaw we mentioned, so Jarrod Payne is suffering from migraines. They don't think it's related to concussion. Certainly the tests have suggested that. They're not sure in a timeline about when he's going to return, so he's just had a really tricky time of late between that and his calf problem and the lacerated kidney last year. And then Brian Robbie Henshaw, his pectoral muscle torn off the bone. I don't think I've ever heard of that injury before.
Ouch.
To be honest.
Yeah.
So 16 weeks out for him. So that puts Champions Cup into doubt and November internationals potentially if there are complications. 05 being fairly obvious, but 01, 09, 13, did you come home banged up in bits? Did you have a Lions hangover when you're coming home from these things?
Not in 01. 05 was different. I was struggling in 09, and then 13, I suppose it was the disappointment of not being involved in the final game,
yeah,
more than actually feeling banged up. It all depends on the individual. Some guys have had rest time throughout the year, you know, through various knocks or small ailments.
Mm.
Some guys are feeling very fresh and delighted to be involved. I was talking to, just texting Johnny Sexton and asking him, you know, were there going to be a few pints had in Queenstown on Sunday night? And, you know, we've seen a couple of guys get, you know, having a few beers, and that's fine. But there's definitely a few old heads that know that they can't have any drink in the week of a test match, knowing they're going to be playing on Saturday.
Mm.
I thought the same before the third test in Australia 4 years ago, and then didn't get selected. I went and had an ice cream instead of a load of pints on the Sunday night. But I think the smart players know their body well and
yeah,
know how best to react. And, you know, if you're having a few beers, fine, because you know that you're able to flush them out of the system. I had a few back in 01, the week before the first, the week
seven,
after the first
I think,
test. Eight was the number.
Eight, right. Yeah,
yeah. Bottles, though. Just bottles.
But just bottles. Well, at the roadshow, Johnny Sexton said he wouldn't dream of touching alcohol in the week before a game. So presumably him and maybe lots of them aren't. I don't want to overstate the whole Queenstown thing. It's probably just you see a few pictures, you think it's a bigger deal than it is. Eden Park, the record at Eden Park you mentioned, 1994, I think it is.
94.
It goes on forever anyway.
I mean, it's France, just, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 50,000 people. So there's no discernible physical reason why it should be overly intimidating. Did you find Eden Park tougher than the other venues there? Or well, you found them all quite tough, I suppose.
All Blacks are All Blacks.
Yeah.
No.
You found Wellington easy.
Yeah, that was a walk in the park. I think they get the sense. It was almost like when they were playing against Ireland before Chicago, where they always felt as though they were getting it done.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit the same. I was talking to Justin Marshall about it, and he agreed with me in that in the games that are they're not at their best and the goings gets tough. They feel Eden Park is just that extra little factor where, do you know what, we're in Eden Park.
Mm,
we'll get the job done. We're not brilliant today, but we'll have enough in the tank because we just don't lose here.
Mm.
And, you know, we're the All Blacks and we'll kick it into another gear. And if we have to chase, you know, a deficit, we'll get after that because, you know, we are who we are.
Yeah.
And I think there's that, little element that is backup for them.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe it's just one of those teams like playing in certain pitches, and maybe it's just their thing.
Yeah. It's Romain Poit, Jerry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Romain Poit, yeah.
Is this good, bad, or what for the Lions then?
It's Romain Poit. It could be anything. but one thing for sure, he'll be a central figure. He always is. He won't be low profile. He doesn't do low profile as a referee. The referees have been hugely important in all this. Too important, yeah. But that's the modern game. You have to give Garces credit last week. I thought he had a really good game. You got certainly quibble about a few penalties. You know, the one against Marco Vunipolo for his left knee briefly coming into contact with the ground. But even then, you could say he possibly wasn't supporting his own body weight. Conor Murray high tackle when he's got his arm around underneath the armpit. But I think when it came to the key moment, the sending off of Sonny Bill Williams, it was very telling that Jerome Garces got little or no support from either his two touch judges or the TMO, George Ayoub, who just kept asking, would he like another look? What his first instinct was, that's a red card because of the dangerous nature of the play. And he was even being called back by George Ayoub, who was going, Jerome, and he just ignored him and went up to Kieran Reid and he went up to Sonny Bill Williams and said, I have no option, I have to protect the players. He becomes the first referee in history to send off an All Black in New Zealand. I mean, it's not quite on the par with giving the away team a penalty at the Old Trafford under Alex Ferguson, but it's not far removed from it either. So I think he was a very brave referee.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. When the TMO says have another look after Garces has said it's a red card, I mean, that's coded. That's, I think you've got this wrong.
Yeah, I think George Ayoub is a quite dreadful TMO. I don't know why he consistently gets to be TMO at very, very big international rugby test matches, because I think that, as a TMO there, he should be agreeing with Garces and reinforcing that view. I thought it was quite extraordinary that maybe it's the magnitude of sending off an All Black in New Zealand. I don't know. It's been quite extraordinary watching the coverage here on television and listening to John Kerwin and Jeff Wilson on the program called The Breakdown here, and Jim Kay, a journalist. I mean, they say that Sonny Bill Williams should not have been suspended, that a red card was enough.
Right.
They say that Sean O'Brien followed through looking at the slap action for the ball that leaves Naholo on the ground and fails his HIA. But, you know, a three-man panel, including two former players, cleared him when he'd been cited. And yet they're saying on their panel last night that it was the same offence as Sonny Bill Williams. And if Sonny Bill Williams gets 4 weeks, then Sean O'Brien should get 4 weeks. And they're also saying that a line of argument peddled in the New Zealand Herald as well, that the Lions are deliberately conceding these penalties to stop the All Blacks from scoring tries and generating momentum. I would safely venture that, you know, Warren Gatland and the Lions head coaches would strongly differ, and that they were infuriated by the concession of the penalties last week.
Yeah.
They were, like I said, they were soft, avoid of penalties. If there was one cynical penalty in the game to prevent a try-scoring opportunity, it was assuredly Aaron Cruden barging Liam Williams off the ball through a kick-through, which conceded a penalty. I think, yeah, going back to your original point, Poit's going to be huge. Another factor in this, though, is the Red Army, the Lions crowd. You know, how much of Garces is persuading key moments by the noise coming from 20,000 away fans, and the noise that will be coming from 20,000 away fans, or maybe more. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lot more, given this was not a sellout until last weekend. This third test was not a sellout, and you hear a lot of stories of Lions fans now coming out at the last minute because, well, for these Lions fans, it's some of the biggest days of their lives. You see them, the fortunes they spend coming out here, the way they go and dress and all the gear, and they really are giving it socks when it comes to an 8:35 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday, you know, and you're on a tour and you've paid for it. You know, they're shall we say, well lubricated, and they're in good spirits, and it's creating a big atmosphere in the games. There's been an incredible television campaign over here since the start of the tour for All Blacks fans to adopt a chant other than All Blacks, All Blacks, All Blacks. It's an old Kiwi classic called Tu Tiramai. It means all stand together, all of us. And when it comes to Tu Tiramai, and then it goes Ingalibi, which means all of us, it's drowned out by Lions, Lions, Lions. So even that has become, if you like, a cue for a Lions anthem. And you wonder, will they even bother trying to play it in Eden Park?
Yeah. I hadn't heard it yet. Sing some of it there.
You're hilarious, Joe. It's a bit early in the morning over here. I need a few drinks. Tu Tiramai, it's called.
Well, we'll get right on that.
Stand together, and then it goes Engaiwi, all of us. That's the kind of chorus, and that's where the fans are meant to come in and cheer that. Okay. And it's been, you know, Glenn Osborne is now cap. a policeman. He's in the video for it. Soldier's in the video for it. Kieran Reid, current player's in the video for it. It's been quite a promotional campaign.
Right.
And it's basically all it's led to is a more Lions chance.
Right, okay. Somebody says they've just put a tenner on Vinopola to be sent off in the first half. That's Colm. And he's also gooded for O'Mahony, who Gatland seems to have unfairly pinned the blame on for losing the first game. We'll talk about O'Mahony in the coming weeks and hopefully have him on the show at some stage. Final word to you, Brian. It seems silly to ask for a prediction because, I mean, you just have to predict New Zealand will win, but how convinced or otherwise are you? Can you see the Lions actually winning here in Eden Park?
It's a two-horse race, of course you can.
But
like, you know, they get everything right again and the All Blacks are off colour, they have a chance. Because the reality is the All Blacks left 3-4 chances out there last weekend and that's not taking aside their goal kicking woes. So, you know, that's probably the guts of 20 points. So put all that together, you have to think the All Blacks are still comfortable favourites. Mm. But I don't know. I was in with the squad for the first test. They genuinely believe that they're going to win the series. So, I don't know, maybe just the All Blacks.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Jerry, thanks a million for that. Brian, thanks for coming to the studio.
Yes. Very quickly, is the rain not a big help for the Lions? If it rains, then it's meant to.
Yeah, it will. It will. I think it'll play into the hands. I think they're better ball players. And if it's dry, I don't know what the prediction is for the weekend, but if it's dry, you'd definitely favour the All Blacks with that. But I do know that the Lions had plans to really try and play last weekend before the conditions came down. So right. With Farrell and Sexton at 10-12, you know, they do fancy getting their back three into play if they can get the ball. So expect some more of that if it is a dry ball.
Okay, either way, it'll be compelling to watch. Thanks a million, lads. Short break. We're back with Tommy Welch.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.